GrowPass membership update, everyone. This is your absolute last chance to join mygrowpass.com as a founding member and get locked into that low pricing that we're offering. I'm issuing the order to increase prices tomorrow, September 1st. However, it is a Sunday tomorrow, and it may take a day or two for the web team to implement it. So if you're hearing this and you feel like you missed out, go to mygrowpass.com right now. And if you see the awesome $9.95 per month founding member pricing, you know you made it in time. Go and get it, guys. I don't got to tell you about the awesome program. You've heard about the dozens of grow products you get 20-25% off on. You've heard about the AMAs where you can chat with me and Wolfman. We just added a resource section with a VPD chart. There's going to be a journal. It's so kick-ass. Anyways, last call, mygrowpass.com. I thought I'd let you guys know before it's too late. Today's episode, though, holy cow, it's really, really nice. It's a great episode with two really nice guys from Britain who are pushing the boundaries of what hygrometers can do with their company, P&L Grow Systems. And I cannot wait for you to hear this episode, as there's some great advice, but they're also just really funny guys, and they're really fun to speak with. So before we jump in, today's show is sponsored by Dealzer.com, everybody. Dealzer.com. Dealzer.com. Listeners to this show get 10% off the online hydroponic superstore with promo code PODCAST10. That's PODCAST10. And my GrowPass members get 15% off site-wide. Dealzer.com is a hydroponic superstore with over 20,000 indoor gardening products. If you're looking to grow your own, Dealzer is your one-stop shop for LED grow lights, grow tents, nutrients, soil, CO2, and so much more. Visit Dealzer.com or visit their Paducah, Kentucky brick-and-mortar store. And online, you can use code PODCAST10 for 10% off everything, and mygrowpass.com members get 15% off. Cool stuff. Go get it, everyone. All right. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share this show with a friend, with a grower, with a smoker. Just share the show. We'll really appreciate it. Make sure you're subscribed. Give us a good rating and review. It really helps out the show. Thank you all so much. Very excited to have two guests on the line today. Both connected all the way from across the pond. We have Lee and Peter from P&L Grow Systems on the line from Britain, correct? How are you guys doing?
Hi, Lee. Doing good, thanks. Peter here. Yep, bridging the
the transatlantic.
To the other side of the pond.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
And very long piece of string.
How are you doing today, Lee?
I'm good, thank you, Jordan.
Thanks for joining me today, guys. Excited to talk about your company, P&L Grow Systems. Really, really cool units that you guys are working on. But I kind of want to start first with, since I have you on the line from, you know, what we consider a foreign market. Most of my listeners are here in the States or in Canada, but we do have quite a few listeners in the UK and from around the world. Let me ask you guys, what's going on right now in the UK and Europe? You know, CBD, I know, is blowing up. What are the laws like when it comes to CBD and cannabis in general?
Well, what you're seeing definitely across Europe is a noticeable change towards, at least certainly towards the CBD market. You're seeing quite a few countries allowing it. There are some strange laws in some of them where you can have plants in a vegetative state, but you can't have them in a flowering state, which is always a bit weird. It makes you wonder, where do they end up?
Right.
And even in the UK, you're starting to see the shift. I mean, certainly CBD has become something that's a lot more in the public eye. You're seeing a lot more publicity around it. There is now medicinal cannabis available on the NHS. Well, they say it's available on the NHS. The reality is somewhat different. Yeah, so I think you're seeing the early stages. There was in the newspaper headlines the other day, they were saying estimated 5 to 10 years. Brexit might speed that along.
Oh, interesting. I was just going to say, now, does the European Union specifically have a stance on it?
Not that I'm aware of, you know, considering the number of countries in Europe that do permit it. And you've got Spain that has some interesting laws, right to privacy laws.
Pretty liberal there, right? And then I know Czech Republic is like anything goes, right?
The CBD only, I believe. When I was last there on holiday, they had CBD flower available to buy in your off license.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So we're undergoing a similar shift here. It seems that CBD is kind of the more acceptable version that's paving the way. And it almost always seems to, you know, go further down that slope. So God willing, because I know we do have a lot of fans in UK and I'm glad to hear that you guys are kind of making that shift as well. Before we hop off the subject, what's going on as far as hemp production? Are there people growing in UK? Are there people growing in Europe for, because I know that we import a lot of CBD from Europe at times.
I mean, there's certainly a lot of hemp that's being produced. And there always, you know, there always has been quite a thriving hemp industry.
Right. Okay. So you guys never lost it.
Hemp is legal in the UK. And for instance, in the US, cannabis seeds and hemp seeds were, well, it's because hemp was illegal. So you couldn't have the seeds at all.
Right.
Whereas in the UK, hemp is legal. And you don't know what it is if you've just got a seed. It's nothing until you germinate it. And because you get hemp seeds in bird feed, they couldn't outlaw the seeds. So seeds in the UK are 100% legal because they're souvenirs and you're preserving the genetic heritage of plant.
You're just not allowed to germinate or propagate any of them, full stop.
I see. Yeah, that makes perfect sense with the history of seed banks in Europe and everything like that. So super interesting. I just love getting a European take. So I do appreciate that anytime I can. Let's talk PNL Grow Systems, though. For the listeners, plgrow.systems is the website. Check it out. It is really, you guys seem to be pushing the envelope when it comes to hygrometers and monitoring products. And monitoring climate products. Let's just start at the top. How did you guys get started? What is your mission statement?
Well, it started off actually as a hobby. I mean, we both had a similar challenge, which was growing plants in greenhouses and wanting to be able to take a holiday. You know, growing chilies in the greenhouse. And you want to go away for 2 weeks and come back and not have a greenhouse that's full of dead plants, mm-hmm. either because they haven't been watered or you've asked somebody to come around and water them and they've drowned everything. They've done the reverse.
Totally.
And we took a look at what was on the market at the time. And this is going back, about 4 or 5 years now, Lee?
Coming on to that, yeah.
Yeah, it's about 5 years. And the solutions that were available on the market were hellishly expensive, not much functionality to do what we were looking for. You know, you had to open up firewall rules and do all sorts of ridiculous things to get this remote monitoring that we were after. We're both technologists and tinkerers and got hold of Raspberry Pi. Some bits and pieces and started playing around and realized, well, we could make this and started building one and then started to put some pictures up of what we were doing. And very quickly, actually, people started asking, oh, where could we get one? And that started to snowball and we realized that this needed to move from being a hobby into being a bit more of a serious business. Love and it. I would say the mission statement of the company is we want to make the type of services and data and resources available to the average grower through to the big commercial growers that is normally only in the reserve of the people with deep pockets. You know, if you want to have 24/7 monitoring with custom alerting, remotely accessible from anywhere with predictive analytics, that's quite an expensive solution when you go out to the traditional providers.
So you're looking to best that, essentially. I really like that, man. That's really cool, the way that you just phrased it. And if you take a look at, for instance, smart home technology and how the price of smart home technology has gone down and how the functionality is so much better, it would make sense that smart grow technology would follow the same path if there was as much attention put into that side of the industry, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's not something that's invasive. It doesn't really take up much of your. The nice thing about it is you put it in and you sort of forget about it. You know, it sits in there, it records, it does what it needs to do. It's logging. And occasionally you get emails that tell you if things are going out of whack, or you can really dive into it and sit there and look at charts and get into the analysis and understand what's been happening. That's the key to it, is to the product lends itself to those who just want to use it casually, and to those who then want to start to dive deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And we do get quite deep on some of the analytics that we provide, the ability to, you know, really tune in that environment, and then also to analyze the output from your efforts. We have journaling platform that will do a yield analysis based on various factors at the very end when you close it out.
That's so cool, man. And I want to talk all about the Minder unit and what it's capable of. But I got to imagine I love hearing these ancillary success stories to the cannabis industry, because I'm sure you're just tickled pink every time there's, you know, another state that legalizes, you know, another big hemp wave, another state where hemp farms are booming, indoor farms, gardens, greenhouses, where they're going to need all sorts of different technology, including technology like yours. You must be super tickled pink at what's going on over here in the States. Do you get a lot of business over here?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of interest from the US, particularly because there it is commercial, and all aspects of it is commercial. So you've got big commercial hemp, you've got big commercial CBD, and you've got commercial rec cannabis. And because of that, they're data-driven businesses all of a sudden. And that's really where, you know, everything's right. Heading is going down that road. Now, mm-hmm. For the average home grower to say to them in the States, well, you'll get an extra 10% yield. On six plants, 10%, it's not that noticeable. But when you've got, you know, 6 acres under glass, 10%, a massive improvement.
Yeah, that's
and that's
a good
big
point.
Numbers you're talking. And so those type of businesses are looking for the needle in the haystack, looking through the data. And to do that, you need to have lots of sensors, platform that captures it quite quickly and easily for you, that makes it effortless. But to make that so that the small guy can compete as well, he can also have access to exactly the same stuff.
Give everybody access to the same information, they can all do better at what they do.
Oh, totally. I really like that. And just the right sizing of it, if you will. So let's specifically talk about your products, your Minder unit. It's an all-encompassing, well, I don't want to even call it a hygrometer. What do you call this thing? What is the Minder unit? What is it capable of?
I'd say that's a fair assessment. It is a digital hygrometer, and we have two sensors on it. One that's temperature and humidity, and the second one is a waterproof temperature probe. So that way you can use it, for example, in your reservoir if you want to keep an eye on the temperature for DWC, ensure it doesn't creep out, or if you want to put it in your raised bed or whatever media you're growing in to make sure that the temperature's not too low when you transplant seedlings into the greenhouse to make sure they don't get root shock. So the Minder takes a reading every 30 seconds from each of the devices and saves them into our cloud, where you can then look at the history, as well as set alerts. So if it gets too hot, too cold, too dry, or too wet, you'll get an email that tells you it's gone outside of your predefined zones and gives you an option to take remedial action.
I also see that there's some vapor pressure deficit readings, which I guess just weighs the temperature and RH. That can alert you too, I'd imagine. I love seeing the vapor pressure, the VPD readings.
Yeah, the VPD is a derivative, or so it's a calculated value from the humidity and temperature, correct?
Yeah, I love that. That's really neat. I want to talk about the charts and journals that are included. Just tell me about all the data and all the different things that you can play with in the software.
So we provide, as Lee was mentioning, we capture data every 30 seconds that we then record it up into the cloud, and you get your current data on the dashboard, and you can then delve back into historical data using the charts, for instance. We give everybody up to the last 4 weeks of data is always available on the platform without any further subscription required. And that's something actually just to make a point, you know, we don't charge a monthly subscription. It's a one-off payment for the device. That's it. And what you get is 4 weeks of historical data always available to you, access to the journal, current data charting and alerts. The forecasting is an extra monthly fee just because of the computational overhead of doing that.
I see. So you get additional many more weeks worth of data and then all sorts of different insights into that data?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
That's so cool.
What we calculate is we do dew point and VPD. We just show the VPD on the dials. And then when you go and have a look into the charts, which you can look at the last hour going back, I think it's 1 hour, 2 hours, 6 hours, 12, 24, 48, and then we go at 72, and then in 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then you can see the full history of what's been going on in the grow space or your greenhouse. Or in some cases, we've got worm farmers who've got sensors in their wormeries. So they're keeping a track of how hot that wormery is getting. If it's getting drying out, for instance, they're very keen on our next release of sensors that we're bringing out, which we can talk about in a minute. And that was one of the bits that we started with, which is showing these historical charts. What became more interesting was to say, well, hold on a second. If we can start to group things together, we can come up with, you know, define a logical grow space. So define the size of the space in terms of it's 30 cubic meters. Wow. It has these lights in it. It has these containers, and you can define the size of the container and the type of container it is, and then include what grow medium is in that container. So now I know I've got a 20 liter container with cocoa in there, and I can say it has this plant in that container, and I put that container in the room. You also then assign your sensors to the room, and you're now gathering data that's the performance of a specific container configuration with a specific plant in it. It could be cultivar of plant, so you could be running multiples, and you're gathering all the environmental data with it at the same time. And the journal, as you're carrying out your activities, if you want to water it, you hit a button, say, I watered it, or you can give it further information such as I watered it X number of liters with this pH, this EC, these additives. It's up to you if you want to include the extra detail. But it timestamps that all along the timeline. So when you look back at a review of your journal, you actually see marked out on the timeline the various activities you carried out. So you may notice after you do a heavy leaf strip, the humidity tanks. But if you were just looking at the data, you might wonder, well, why did the humidity tank at that point? But you actually now have a mark that will say, because you did this. So you can start to relate activities you carry out and the impact that has on the environment. But you can also see, you know, what was different between two runs. So if you want to understand why run one gave you a result of X and run two gave you a result of Y and you think you did it the same, you can actually look at the timeline of both journals and see, oh, okay, hang on a second. I did three extra waterings at a different interval.
Right. So at this week, the VPD was off and, you know, that probably affected my this or that. Yeah, that's a really good point, man. Super, super interesting. I love the idea of the data insights. Talk to me about the predictive stuff. I love that you're inputting all the different factors into the unit, you know, like you said, the size of the room and the lights and everything. What does that tell the unit and what can it tell you from that information?
Well, at the moment we're running a 7-day forecast on the different sensors in the environment. And what that will allow you to do is it looks back at historical data. So we actually do two flavors of it, what we call I've labeled it basic, but it isn't basic. I guess of the two, it's more basic. And that one is just looking at historical time series data. So the longer you have the device, the more accurate it's going to get. And it just learns how to predict based on observed data, where it will be in the next, you know, over the next 7 days. He has an hourly forecast of where your humidity will be, your temperature, et cetera, for the different sensors. The other one, the more advanced one, captures additional data points, including things like external ambient weather conditions and the ambient weather forecast. It combines all of that data together to give you a more accurate 7-day forecast, because it starts to take into consideration, you know, hot days, cold days, which it can learn from.
That's crazy. So the Minder knows where you live and it knows what the weather is going to be in your city that day?
Well, no, it doesn't know where you live. that's what you'd have to enter.
I wasn't trying to be creepy or anything, but you know what I'm saying. It takes into account the weather in your city.
Yes, yes. And actually, I'm doing a number of experiments at the moment, trying to work out how close you need to be to the nearest like weather station for the forecast to still be accurate. So that people don't have to give their exact address. They can just say, you know, Denver is my nearest city, and it's close enough. If you live within 10 miles of Denver, the weather patterns are close enough that it doesn't matter.
Man, this is really cool stuff.
But it allows you, when you're growing, then to see, you know, it's predicting this is where it's headed. You can then go, well, hang on, I either need to steer it away from that prediction or sort of keep it on that prediction, because that's actually what I'm trying to get.
Right.
And you'll start to notice drifts and take preventive action. It's like, don't get surprised by anything again.
That's so cool.
As I like to see it, it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And most, well, in fact, all the others that I've seen so far go yesterday and today, and none of the others go into tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's really cool. How deep into the grow are you looking to integrate? Like, if someone is looking to have a really deeply automated grow, for instance, are you looking to integrate the Minder into their automation, you know, their feeding automation? Do you see it being as easy as feeding with the press of a button eventually? Like, how deep are you trying to integrate?
In that regard, we're looking to integrate with other people, but we've also developed a platform of our own as well. So back in the day when we originally created this setup, we weren't just doing monitoring. We were actually controlling circuits and relays to turn on the lights, schedule water pumps. We have the feature to, if the humidity is too high and you had the controller connected, for example, you could turn on a dehumidifier until it gets down to your level. So we've already developed the rest of the platform. It's just a case of bringing it to production now. But the option for integration is very much on the table.
You said that you two are tech guys. Is that your background, working in tech and software?
My background is financial market data.
Yeah, I think we've got about 55 years between us now.
Sound old.
Okay, before we jump back in with Lee and Peter, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, NewtTools.com. Everybody, these are great. Go to NewtTools.com, promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off, and members to MyGrowPass.com get 25% off. Newt tools are amazingly simple devices. They are 100 milliliter syringes with a 14-inch stainless steel needle, and these things are perfect for measuring and applying nutrients in your grow. They allow you to precisely measure your nutrients without wasting a drop and slopping into your measuring cups and staining your clothes. No more. You got to get this Newt tool. You get to pull out exactly what you need and inject it into your reservoir slowly and perfectly and mix it up. You've heard us talk about this, guys. It's the way to go. So go to NewtTools.com, promo code GROWCAST for 10% off, and MyGrowPass.com members get 25% off. All right, everyone, let's get back to the show. So let me ask you this. What excites you about working on this project? Do you love providing value to the growers? Do you love powering the cannabis industry for one way or another, empowering people to grow better cannabis at home, or helping with the supply of medical CBD, or boosting the economy? What excites you most about what's going on with the cannabis industry and with P&L Grow Systems?
You know, what I really enjoy is I find when it comes to growing plants, the one thing about them is it's never the same. No matter how much you try, it's one of those things you can never quite perfect it. It's a bit like it's forever changing. I mean, it's an organic living thing. So
totally.
None of the two are ever the same. So the challenge is constantly evolving. I really enjoy being able to bring a lot of what was learned, and oddly enough, it was learned in the finance sector dealing with all this data, et cetera, and seeing how, where the value is, seeing that there is value in this information, but you've got to make it accessible to people. And when you give somebody the Minder, and well, I'll say the give when they purchase one, and they give you money back. what is really great is when they come back to you a little while later and they go, I don't know actually how I existed without it.
Yes.
Because now I suddenly can see things that are going on when I'm not there. And they realize just how, you know, how blind they were flying beforehand. When it was just, yeah, it's okay, because they stick their hand in the room and think that was good enough. and now they have hard empirical information. And we've heard some, you know, interesting success stories with somebody who suffers from OCD, who was saying how, and this was quite a strange one, actually, where they then said, strange in a good way. And I was thinking, oh God, here we go. Somebody with OCD, we've just really compounded the problem with something that updates every 30 seconds. You know, this is like, oh my goodness, where's it going to go? And came back with, it had actually freed him up.
Because I'd imagine
still
so.
Obsessing about looking at it, but doesn't have to get up and go and look at it.
Can 100%.
Look at it from the comfort of wherever he happens to be and said, well, now I can go to the cinema. I can go away. I can do things. I suddenly am not shackled to this by my OCD. And those are the kind of things, that's a really, that's cool.
That is super cool, man.
That's a totally side effect that you had no anticipation of.
So let me say a few things here. The first thing you were talking about is the value creation, right? You give someone something and they go, oh my God, how could I have ever gotten by with this before? That seems to really get off the inventor type, the entrepreneur type, I'll say. People have this misconception that people build and invent things so they can sell them to get money and accumulate money. And when I talk to tons of people that are making innovative products in all sectors, but especially the cannabis sector, it's almost never the case, man. They get off on innovation. They get off on the idea of making something great, providing value, blowing people's minds, and then immediately turning around and going, how do we do version 2.0? How can we make this better and more expansive? They rarely stockpile their winnings. They double down, they expand, and they innovate. And that's what seems to really excite people. And I think that's kind of what you were pointing to in the first part of your question. And then I'll also say, first part of your answer, and then I'll also say, when it comes to your customer with the OCD, super, super helpful, I'm sure, in his specific case. But I'll say there's a certain level of obsession and compulsion and disorder that comes with being a cannabis grower, where that stuff is always on your mind, man. If that stuff isn't always on your mind, you're a bad grower. So even though that's a more extreme example that you provide, and that must have been why it was so rewarding, because it's kind of unique and extreme, every cannabis grower has a similar feeling of got to check my thing. What's going on? Can't enjoy dinner out with my significant other. Can't enjoy, you know, time at the movies, like you said, or the cinema, as they say, over on your side of the pond.
Lee, how many times have we heard that from customers? They'll suddenly tell you, oh, can get to the cinema. Oh, can go do things.
Absolutely. The most recent one was we had a post on Instagram that said, I'm now in Cyprus, in another continent, and wasn't worried about his grow at all and didn't know how he got by without it.
That's so cool.
It makes a big difference.
And that's probably what fuels you. It's not a big paycheck, oh, he made this many sales. It's probably stories like that, right?
Oh, no, exactly.
So
any of the other.
That has nothing to do with the money. Yeah. absolutely. I totally feel you on that one, and I can sympathize with that feeling and that value that you're providing, man. So it's really cool. I think it's a reasonably priced unit, and I think that if people are interested in this sort of thing, you know, the data insights and the alerts and stuff like that, it's definitely a great option. What else can we cover? Do you want to cover anything about the Minder?
Just to quickly go back on that, on what Lee was talking about with the controller earlier. The one that we're looking at releasing into the market is the retail version of the controller, and that needs to go through all sorts of regulatory compliance, etc. That's why it takes quite a while to bring something like that to market. What we do offer is, you know, a control platform where it's integrated into the distribution panel itself, where we will sit down with a customer and work with their electrician to wire in a control platform. And that's a different, it's a custom install. It's a totally different setup. It's done in a different way. So don't want to, you know, if any of your listeners are, you know, looking for something like that, it's not to say we don't have it. We just don't have the retail one available right now.
I see.
That's a whole different kettle of fish when you come into the retail market.
The controller is the totally separate system, whereas the Minder is the one that has all the alerts and the charts and the data and the temperature readings and the VPD and all that.
Yeah, the controller is a reactive unit, so it reacts to data that it gets back from the Minder. Well, it gets instructed to do things by our platform based on feedback from Minder units.
Okay, that's
so
cool.
So you can link a socket to, like, socket number one is connected to something that makes the humidity go down, and that's linked to Minder X and the humidity sensor on Minder X. And you could have it linked to multiple ones, so you could have a single controller managing humidity in four different spaces. Each one on the base unit comes with four sockets. Each one of those four sockets could be linked to different Minder units and different parameters, and you could have another one that was doing dehumidification, for instance.
Right. But just to be clear for my listeners, you can just go and buy yourself a Minder and have it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And our whole product range is designed to be modular. That was one of the things that
That's
very
smart.
Conscious effort from the beginning is to say, we don't, I just need to do humidity and temperature. I don't need to do humidity, temperature, light, CO2, pH, blah, 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 and everything else under the sun. I just want the basic one. We say basically, you know, I'm just after those pieces. And that means we can do it at a price point that works. If you put all the bells and whistles in it, it's suddenly a $500 to $1,000 or pound sensor. And then you don't go and hang 50 of them in your grow space. You hang one somewhere above the canopy, which is a bit of a bugbear of mine.
You know, I'm thinking about AI. And this Minder unit, you know, learns from the information you input it. Do you see any reason to have this be more of a learning system and push the predictability to where it'll eventually be giving you tips like, you know, hey, that last watering you did is probably a little bit heavy now that you're entering flowering. Next time, hit it a little bit less. Your plant isn't going to be drinking as much. Like, is there any way that AI plays a role into this, or you go deeper down the path of predictive thinking? I'm kind of talking out my ass here, but I hope I'm teeing you up for something good.
The predictive side of it, you know, that's the early stages of AI. I think the better term is, this is where us techies get a bit anal on some of this stuff. I think the better term is probably machine learning rather than AI.
Machine learning. Machine learning is a less scary verb, I would term, I would say.
You know, and combining multiple machine learning algorithms together to give you the desired outcome. Yeah, I think that's definitely where it's going and where we would like to see the platform going as well. We have a project called Operation Grow. That's the objective of that is to start to put some data behind the claims where we've got 10 growers all growing the same cultivar from the same breeder, all using the Minder unit and the journaling platform to record the environmental conditions and their activity. And at the very end, everything gets tallied up and compared. So we can then start to see, okay, so these different styles produce these different phenotypic expressions based on this environmental data. Okay, the first run is not really going to tell you much. But when you start to repeat that over and over and over and over and over again, and you will then be able to find commonalities in the data. So across all of these strains or cultivars, if you do this with the environment, you will get X. That phenotype will be expressed. Now, you know, it'll be that phenotype in amongst all sorts of others, but you will be guaranteed to get that one. That's where it eventually leads to, where you're dialing it in to say, look, I need to produce. And for the hemp growers and the CBD growers, this is critical for them. They can't have a product go hot.
So right. Yeah, they don't want it to reach a certain level of THC or they're fucked. Yeah.
Yeah, good. They need to understand, well, what environment does that? So now I need to, and that's where the predictive analytics really kicks in, because now it's going, whoa, the way you're going, that's going to be hot in 2 weeks' time. There's an event coming up that's going to stress them. Or what you're doing, this extra watering, it's really learning and observing what you're doing and then saying, this is the likely outcome from those actions. And this is the recommendation to avoid that.
Wow.
And build that up progressively over time. Because, yeah, you know, if you're growing hemp or growing CBD, it could go from a $5 million crop to a, I better pay somebody to take this away crop. And to do it all on a single platform is the key piece. So for your small commercial operations and large commercial operations and the home guys, you know, the grow piece is one side of the event. You then cut it down. You then have got to dry it and cure it. That needs to all be monitored as well. Possibly then it gets stored, maybe not for very long. And the other option is it's got to be transported to its final destination.
It needs to be monitored the whole way, ideally.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's what we're able to provide because of the nature of the units, the way they operate in terms of they could be paired to a mobile phone running as an access point. These are all Wi-Fi devices that could be in the truck driver's pocket with the sensors sitting in the truck as it's being transported. And the client on their dashboard is seeing real-time data from all of these sensors. If it goes above 100 degrees Fahrenheit in the truck, whoop, alerts go out to say, hey, something's gone wrong. Someone stopped and blazed.
That's wild, man. That's really, really cool. I want to make sure that we get to everything. So let's talk about the future. Do you have any products coming down the pipe? You mentioned working on the controller for a retail version. Is there anything else that you're looking forward to develop next?
I think the next thing that we're likely to be coming to market with will be the CO2 sensor. Just for monitoring at this stage. Control can come at a later date, but just for now will be for monitoring. And the idea with that is to try and keep the price point down so that way everybody can afford it, because unfortunately the main thing with CO2 is it's cost prohibitive for most people. And the next one will be the moisture monitors. So that way you can actually keep an eye on the moisture levels within the pot, and they can alert you if it's dried out, or if you're, like, for example, using an auto pot system and for some reason one pot's not getting wet, you can go and check on it and see whether or not there's a clog or there's another issue that you weren't aware of. Or yet again, at a later stage, if you paired that up with the controller, you could actually tell it to water the pot more frequently to ensure that you keep the moisture level you like. So there's the main ones will be for the air and moisture, and I think that pretty much captures the majority of the really important bits that you need to have a successful grow.
That's so cool, man. I'm just so excited by all this tech stuff and the advancement of the controllers and everything like that. It's never something that I've gotten too deep into myself, but I'm watching the technology evolve, and I just love talking to guys like you. Let me ask you, if everything goes according to plan and P&L Systems is killing it, and, you know, the grow industry progresses more and more, what do you look like? What does P&L Systems look like 10 years from now? And what is your role in the grow industry?
Ooh.
Domination. Only got somewhere.
Inside voice. Actually, I see the role that we would be playing in the industry is having broken down that barrier on the democratization of this technology, these analytics, so that everybody is able to use it. And where you've got, I want somebody who's never grown a plant in their life before to be able to walk up and say, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is what I've got. this is what I would like to get. And it will, you've fed it, this is the environment I've got, these are the lights, et cetera, these are all the factors, and it will come back and say, right, this is the guidance you need. Because we don't teach people how to farm anymore. You know, you go back 50 years, kids at school were taught how to grow things. At school, right, that hardly happens anymore. Nobody grows anything. And you've got very few farms, and so this knowledge doesn't get passed down from generation to generation anymore. And you don't have, you know, you don't have somebody you can turn to, your next door neighbor who's got 30 years of horticultural experience, who can give you hints and tips. You know, that food production is vitally important. Making it easy is the end game.
So a minder in every home is your vision. In every home with a grow, I guess. Or every home. Why not?
Well, every home with a greenhouse, every home. Well, it doesn't just have to be for that. I mean, we've got people using them for all sorts of things.
Like dehumidifying jerky and like cigar humidifiers and humidors and stuff like that.
Just monitoring their homes when they're not there, in terms of go away on holiday in the middle of winter and you want to make sure that your central heating's coming on. Leave a minder monitoring temperature.
That's not a bad point, man. Yeah, because your pipes can freeze and burst if you're not. That's not a bad point. Did I say not a good point? I meant that is a good point, not a bad point.
I think our tagline is, it's not just for grow rooms.
I used one of mine to actually figure out that I had a slow leaking roof that was leaking into the bricks, and the brick was drawing the water into the house. And I never would have found it without the data. And I went and showed it to a builder. He went, oh, it's obvious what your problem is. And lo and behold, got it rectified and no problems.
Wow.
We had some interesting journeys along the way. I mean, we developed it initially for keeping an eye on our grow spaces, and now it's starting to find there's many other applications that it could be useful.
Love it, man. It's fantastic stuff. Listeners, please check it out, plgrow.systems. It's definitely worth a visit. Any final words, guys, here before we sign off?
Well, for all of your listeners, if they use the coupon code GC2019 checkout, they'll get 25% off, and that will be valid to the end of the year. So there you go.
There you go, man. The
data world.
Love that. Unexpected right there. That's a deep discount for you listeners. Love saving you growers money. It's one of my favorite things about this show. So go get it, everybody. PLGrow.systems, everyone. Peter, Lee, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, guys. I really appreciate it.
And also to say, find Operation Grow on YouTube. To search for Operation Grow, it'll be fairly obvious which one is ours. To follow what everybody's doing, it's currently every Thursday, 9 p.m. UK time. So figure that on, depending on what time zone you're in. And
oh, that's right. Operation Grow. Give a little description of the show real quick.
So it's currently 10 growers all growing the same cultivar, which happens to be Jamaican Bobsed from Badger's Dank, part of the Subcool crew.
Nice. Love Subcool. He's been on this show a bunch of times.
These are unreleased into the public. So actually it's kind of like a tester batch. Everybody is running them just how they would normally do it, but recording everything that they're doing, logging it all, using the minder unit and the journal. And then we have a weekly show where everybody gets together, talks about what they're seeing, what they're doing, different techniques they're using, different products that they're using at the different stages, trying to sort of make it very accessible to the average person in states or countries where they're permitted to do it.
Love it, man. Absolutely loving it. Everyone check that out. And then real quick, how about an Instagram? Do you have any social media you want to give out?
Yeah, it's at PL Grow Systems on Instagram and at Operation Grow 2019. You know, I couldn't believe there was another 2018 of them, so we had to take the 19th one. Those are the two Instagram accounts.
Go and follow them, everybody, and follow at Growcast on Instagram to get a hold of the show and stay up to date on all things Growcast. At Jordan River IG, if you want to talk to me specifically. We'd love to hear from you guys. Oh, man, this was a pleasure. Hope you all enjoyed today's episode. Broadcasting from halfway across the globe, this is Lee and Peter from PL Grow Systems and Jordan River signing off, wishing you a wonderful day, wishing you the best of luck in your grow, signing off and saying be safe and grow smarter.
Cheers, everyone.